The first thing that reminds me about Samson is really the highlight of it, if you look carefully, probably was the aspect of the hair. The hair was a big thing in the life of Samson. And we're not here to talk about the negative aspect of it. Tomorrow we're going to learn tremendously from the life of Samson, whether good or bad. And that's good to learn these lessons. But I just want to suggest to you, as saints of God, that never underestimate that the power that God is willing to give you and make it available on your behalf, this power of the Spirit of God. Listen, in the line of the New Testament teaching, I want every believer to understand that we're all indwelt with the Spirit of God. But you know what? There are a couple of aspects of the work of the Spirit are conditional in the way you are living. One of it, I would like to suggest to you, is being filled with the Spirit of God. That if I am so much occupied with the things of this earth, if I'm so much occupied with the legitimate things of this world, and all what my mind is focused upon, nothing of Christ, nothing of the saints of God, nothing about the assembly gathering, nothing about spiritual exercises, you can rest assured that your life is displaying fully that you are not filled with the Spirit of God. The filling of the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God upon an individual is particular, or it's unique in relationship to give someone enablement to accomplish a certain work. That's when the Spirit of God comes upon a person. And I want to suggest, especially young men and young sisters, listen. One of the desires we had, and the brethren will agree with me, is like we wanted to sit back, give time, and look for some participation. Where young believers, guided by the Spirit of God, to have the liberty to participate. Why is it so important? Why is it so important that there are older brethren who would love and enjoy to sit under the participation of a newer generation? Why is it? Because God has given each one of us a certain gift, a certain work that He has in mind, that you will accomplish it and I will accomplish it. And the way to do so is really living this Nazarite vow and making a commitment and devotedness in your own soul that I will not eat or drink from the fruit of the vine. And we said it's not something literally that I have made a decision. We always say about this easy, wonderful song we learned, I have decided to follow Jesus. I like the verse, the cross before me and the world what? Is behind me. That there is nothing of this world is influencing me, influencing my decisions, influencing the way that I'm living presently in this world. Don't underestimate that there is another divine person by the name of the Spirit of God who is willing to come upon you. I'm not talking about the indwelling. Who is willing to fill your life so that you will be a vessel fit for the Master's use. So that you will be a good Nazarite. So that you will be a good testimony for Him. And Samson, you might say that with the hair, he had power. And that power did not come from a human energy. Listen, with the encouragement of the young ones to participate, it carries the same encouragement that we have to learn how to participate by the help and the guidance of the Spirit of God and not by your own energy and strength. And somebody like Samson, and somebody like you, and somebody like me, if we have a desire to live in such a way that we've been taught from Numbers chapter 6, a divine person is willing to come upon you, is willing to fill you, so that every word you would say, and every act you will do, it will bring glory to the blessed God. The second Nazarite in simple way, there are other things. But the second Nazarite, who was three of them, they were from before they were born, is Samuel. You might say Samuel didn't want to eat anything of that vine. Why do I say that? Just to bring by way of application. He refused that not only to be influenced But he also refused to be sustained by the things of this world. Refused to be sustained. There was a contrast between him and his children. You know what was the contrast? That his children did not walk in the ways of Samuel. Why? Because they have taken, what? Bribes. Why they took bribes? Because they put their hope in the things of this world. They wanted to be sustained by the people of this world. And how do I want to get my sustenance? Is in receiving and taking and making and everything that the world can offer, if I can use that application. And Samuel was one who said, no. Samuel was a man of prayer. He learned it from his mother. Woe unto me if I cease praying for you. Where did he learn to pray? He learned from his mother. But the word that I want to impress upon you, it was another Nazarite who would say, listen, to obey is better than sacrifice. Young ones, you can go through the emotions. You can come to Spruce Lake. But if deep inside in your own soul, there's the spirit of rebellious. You know what it is in the sight of God? It's like witchcraft. That people don't obey in the sight of God is like witchcraft, which is the source of it is what? Is evil. A Nazarite man like Samuel, who said it is better to obey. The second challenge I want to raise with you is don't underestimate and minimize the Spirit of God coming upon you, another divine person who is available for the saints of God. But the greatest challenge for the Christian is to live in this scene, not in my own way, not with my own thinking. I like to do things this way. I made that decision. I'm going to go there. But to live in submission and obedience to the voice of the Lord. And I'm not going to talk much about it, because sometimes you'd say, well, you know what? The Word of God is very, very simple to understand. The instructions are very clear. And we still have this rebellious in us that I want to live contrary to what the Word of God said. For example, just, you know, a lot of young people will ask, well, what is the will of God for me? I asked it. I don't know, Brother Tony. I know you're up there with age, but when you were young, you asked this question, right?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
I can remember.
Good one. But a lot of us, in reality, we ask this question. How do I know the will of the Lord for me? So that I can obey the will of God in my life. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. There is a certain aspect, the moral aspect of the will of God that never changes. So what do I mean? So when the scripture says, be ye not unequally yoked with who? With unbelievers. You have to be a magician to tell me that I'm going to go in that direction and be obedient to the voice of the Lord. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go together. It doesn't match together. So this is why our exhortation for you is be careful who you hang around. Because when you hang around the wrong company, trust me, they're going to take the spirit of obedience away from you. Mm-hmm. The Lord of glory himself, the Lord Jesus. When he came here to set an example for us, that if we truly believe that Christ is our example, he learned what? He learned what? He learned obedience. Something that was foreign for him. But he was willing to learn it so that he can set the ground for you and for me. That there is no greater joy into the heart of God than when he looks at a young sister, when he looks at a young brother, and all what their object before them is to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. And the second Nazariteship touched on that sense of obedience. I want you to take this challenge, and I trust that the Spirit of God will bring it home. That you will have a commitment that I want to obey. Obey the voice of the Lord. And listen, brethren. Listen, young one. All the other ladder of obedience will fall in place as long as you're obeying the voice of the Lord. When it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, it will come in its place. But we have to live as Nazarites. One of that way of living was a life of obedience. Lord, you said not to drink. I'm not going to drink. Lord, you said I'm not going to, don't eat from the, I'm not going to eat. Lord, you said don't touch dead bodies, I'm not going to touch. A path of obedience. Mm-hmm. The last individual, and I said I'm going to finish by 8, and Brother Tony has the watch up for me. I have 2 minutes. The third individual that really had these features of Nazariteship, although he was never called a Nazarite, but there's features of it, was John the Baptist. A man that never defiled himself. You might say, like Daniel in one way. Mm. He purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with the king's meat. Mm. John was not lovers of, he was not, did not have this principle in him, respect of persons. If King Herod is at fault, he will tell him, you are at fault. Mm. He was a man of God. But all what I want to say is the message he provided. First of all, his clothing, just quickly, the camel's hair. It was said that the camel's hair, the camel by its nature, an animal that endures the harshness of the wilderness, brings that thought of endurance. And listen, when we live as Nazarites, and when you desire to live as one separated from the Lord will give you the endurance and the patience to persevere. The enemy will attack. The enemy will discourage you, but we will be like John the Baptist, spiritually speaking. We will have this garment which is out of camel's hair that will give us the patience and the endurance to continue in the path. And what he ate was not the fruit of the vine. What he ate was a wonderful thing, but I just want to take one aspect of it and sit down. The locust aspect. He ate the locust. If you look at the history of locusts, he could have eaten locusts. It's a clean animal. But if you look how locust was used in the scripture, was always in relationship to judgment. Right? Was in relationship to judgment. When God wanted to judge in the older days, he sent what? He sent the locusts. They will eat everything. They will destroy any tree, any plant, any green thing. The thing about the Nazarite is a person that is being used by the Spirit of God. Is a person that have a desire to obey. We said it a few times, but for the first time, for whoever you hear it, there are three words. They all, the three of them have the second word, same Greek word amongst the three of them. Submission, obedience, and patience. They have the same compound Greek word. And you might say this. Submission is to get under. Submission is to get under. Under what? The authority of God. Obedience is to learn under. That as a good Nazarite, I'm going to make this commitment that I'm going to learn under the authority of my Lord. And God will give us the patience with the camel's hair. Where patience is to stay under. Do you know why you need endurance? So that you can stay under the authority of the Lord and eat the locust. It's a helpful thing, dear brethren, for you and for me, especially the older ones, to apply self-judgment. We need to eat this kind of locust because it speaks about self-judgment. And when the saint of God, when the Nazarite, the true Nazarite, who is willing to allow the Spirit of God to use him, who is willing to obey the voice of the Lord, who is willing to apply self-judgment upon himself, you can rest assured that God will give his stamp of approval that I am going to use this brother. I am going to use this sister and make them a vessel fit for the Master's use. May it be so. For his name's sake.
Amen.